Friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network USA, irishradio.com worldwide. And, I want to speak worldwide. The chief executive of Tourism Ireland worldwide, somebody who full disclosure here, somebody who's a good friend of mine and has been for many of the year, Niall Gibbons, you're very welcome.
Adrian, Happy New Year to you. It's great to be on the show again, and congratulations on another year of broadcasting to the Irish diaspora, and hello to everybody out there, and Happy New Year to all our friends and family in the United States. It's great to be back on.
I have to go back through the years to a time when, no, there weren't 2 million visitors to Ireland or tourists to Ireland. From North America, there was a time when, when your good self was looking towards what appeared to be pie in the sky, that one day there would be the expectation that 1 million visitors would be coming from North America. And I have very clear, recollection of saying, well, that's a great goal. But if you wouldn't mind starting at that point, what most people would figure the way over the top, ambition and projection that could actually even happen.
Well, it's amazing that you should mention that, because it brought back many memories as you were speaking of meeting on your show probably about 10 years ago in the aftermath of the global financial crisis. And we had a gathering coming on the horizon, which is going to be a big ask for people to come home. Mm-hmm. And we expressed the view that wouldn't it be great if someday we saw 1 million visitors coming and spending $1 billion. And those were big, lofty numbers, and we thought they were big, round numbers, and they sound audacious and bold. And the Taoiseach at the time was Enda Kenny, and he came over and he launched our marketing plans. And it was amazing. What started to happen was we hit that 1 million visitor number sooner than we thought. Mm-hmm. And by 2016, I remember my colleague Alison Metcalf, who's done an amazing job over there in the United States, saying that maybe someday we might hit 2 million. And, of course, what happened was, in addition to a strong economy, a very strong marketing campaign with Tourism Ireland, and the improvement in connectivity, which was a major, major factor, it was interesting to see in a short space of time we saw new gateways open from Seattle, San Francisco, Los Angeles, additional flights coming in from New York, Chicago, Boston, the usual gateways, Washington, D.C., where we ended up with two airlines, both with United and Aer Lingus. We also saw Dallas open up with American Airlines. And these are huge factors that led us in 2019 to welcome 2 million visitors, which was an amazing milestone. And while we've seen a setback in 2020 with COVID, and as we head into the first part of 2021, I think it's heartening in the research that we've done in the United States over in the last 6 months. It shows that Ireland is still a very desirable destination and somewhere that people in the United States want to travel to, and we'll be ready to capitalize on that when the time comes.
Some might wonder, well, why in the midst of what has been, the worst period, in maybe world history in more than 100 years, why are we talking about, travel when at a time when, there is a great divide here with respect to, what's real, what's not real, where the advice is coming from, and does it all hang on the success and the rollout of vaccine? Does that translate to Ireland as well?
I think vaccination rollout is going to be a key factor in how fast we progress back into international tourism and travel. I mean, the good news is that the vaccines are on the horizon. I mean, they're already starting across the globe. We've seen today the announcement that the European Union has acquired the right to another 300 million vaccines from Pfizer, which is good. The US is well down the track too. So we look forward to sort of an accelerated rollout in the coming number of months. And really, I think that's the thing that's going to give people confidence when they see the numbers turning. We've seen a difficult few months as a third wave has come across the globe. But there is the desire to travel there. There's no question about that. We've been conducting an extensive market research program in all our key markets across the globe, including the United States, which is our most important market. And it's telling us that people are keen to get back to travel again. Ireland is seen as a very safe, welcoming, friendly destination. It's on people's bucket list. So we know the desire is there. The vaccination rollout and the speed of that will help us get there sooner. And working with our carriers, we need to make it easier and seamless in terms of getting here.
The key word, again, is safety. God knows Ireland, by any estimation, is among and almost at the top of the list of desirable countries to visit. A lot of people who have already been to Ireland, you know, they're now, if anything, more determined than ever to get back to Ireland. The marketing strategy over the last decade was basically getting out, and of course there have been tremendous advances in marketing that are peculiar to Ireland. Not many countries could, for instance, have a special day of the year with the greening and the rollout of the greening of Ireland throughout the world. Can you just give us a little bit of roadmap on that one and how that got off the ground?
Well, as you know, on St. Patrick's Day, it's an amazing platform, and it's amazing that a small country like ours has managed to capture the public imagination around the week of the 17th of March. Back in 2010, we embarked on a project, and it was an idea actually that came through our office in Sydney in Australia, where it was the 200th anniversary of the first reception held for Irish expats back in 1810. And our team approached the authorities in Sydney and said, well, would you think about lighting up the Sydney Opera House green in honour of that reception? So in 2010, we had our first of what we called our global greening. And it really struck a chord with the Irish around the world at a time, again, emerging from the global financial crisis. I think people were clinging for and looking for authenticity, comfort. And they saw it in that photograph. I remember their emotional reactions in the audiences that I used to show it to. So we decided we'd try and expand it and see how we'd go. And the Empire State Building always went green in fairness before Tourism Ireland. But we got the London Eye and we got a number of other icons around the globe too. And by, 2019, that had grown to over 550 icons around the globe. Everything from the Great Wall of China an awful lot of places, by the way, in cities like Philadelphia, in Chicago, great Irish strongholds, a lot of icons around the United States. But places like Mexico, Argentina, Germany, France, London. I mean, Nelson's Column in Trafalgar Square. I mean, did you ever think that you see the day when that would go green? It's amazing. So it really was a show of affection around the globe for the interest in Ireland at a good time of the world, a good time of the year, I should say, when people like to feel Irish. From a tourism perspective, by the way, it comes at a good time of the year too because people are thinking about where they're going on the holidays. So we were able to back that up with a very good PR campaign. And it's been a great partnership. I mean, the Department of Foreign Affairs and trade here, the ministers, the governments get behind it as well, civic authorities. And I remember someone saying to me years ago, could you put a value on St. Patrick's Day and what it's worth? And I said, well, you can't really. I mean, if you were the president of Coca-Cola and someone said to you, do you know what, we'll have a national day in your honor and civic receptions with parades will be held and Fifth Avenue will close down for you to show off your product and you'll get a day out with the president of the United States, you can't put a value on that. I mean, that is the brand in action, and it's great to have it, and we're really looking forward, despite COVID, we'll still be out with a global greening campaign in 2021 as big and bright as ever.
Now, can we, I'd like to get down to, you know, to the fiscal reality of, well, first of all, decimation of you know, the world, the economy throughout the world. But we've mentioned many times before that tourism to Ireland from around the world, that's the kind that was such a significant part of the success of the economy in Ireland. And indeed, you know, if we go back to 2008, the recovery aspect of it, the World Economic Forum has ranked Ireland, indeed, until recently, as third in the world out of 136 countries for, you know, effectiveness, again, of marketing and branding to attract tourists. Where do you start again? And I know that this rollout of your new campaign, and thank you for being here, because we're being up first, we like to be first in getting the news out. But tell us about where you start when the economy is pretty much in a shambles, not just in Ireland, but felt very much in Ireland.
Yeah, it's a really good question, and I suppose it's, you asked the question, where do we start? And I suppose I'd be honest with you by saying that we never actually stopped. Marketing is very different from what it used to be 10 years ago, and I think the introduction of social media has really changed the game, and it means that we never let the lights go out for Ireland, and we keep on reminding people what a great destination it is. We've never been in a situation like this before. I came into Tourism Ireland just after 9/11 and have gone through many crises, so to speak, but we've never seen everything come to a standstill. I mean, in a typical year, 1.4 billion people, I should say, take trips around the globe, spending about $1.5 trillion. So travel and tourism is a very big industry. And before COVID, we would have welcomed about 11.3 million visitors into the island of Ireland, north and south, spending approximately €6 billion, supporting about 10% of the overall workforce. So it's a big, big employer, and all of that has come to a screaming halt. But for us, what we did in the very early stages was we continued to invest in getting messages out there about Ireland through our Fill Your Heart with Ireland hashtag. And believe it or not, in the last 9 months alone since the pandemic hit, we have seen 560 million impressions on Facebook. That's 500 million impressions. Wow. On Facebook on Ireland activity alone. Millions of video views, huge numbers of comments. We've been broadcasting live content from events like Other Voices. It's getting a great reaction. It's keeping a conversation going about Ireland, and that's one of the things that we are good at, is keeping conversations alive. The time to go back to paid marketing activity will be sometime in the next number of months, when we know that people feel confident and are ready to book that ticket. But in the meantime, we've got a very strong campaign, putting really good video content out there. We took ownership of things like Halloween this year, which, you know, in 2020, I should say, which yeah. is a story that came from Ireland, but we really brought that story out to the world. And when the time is right to come back, we'll be out pushing the green button for Ireland. That'll be our new campaign that we'll be launching probably around the second quarter of this year, after St. Patrick's Week, to encourage people to book their trip and come and have an amazing experience. We've done things like completed a complete revamp of our websites. We're now opening live in 33 markets around the globe on our digitalireland.com platform in over a dozen different languages. We have a new marketing technology project we've just finished investing in, which gives us better personalization and better mobile experiences on your mobile phone. And we're going to have a new movie opportunity that I'll tell you about the next time I'm on the show. Okay. So a lot of exciting things in the pipeline. I was just talking to Peter Greenberg in the last hour, the travel editor editor for CBS in the USA, a very exciting project in the pipeline with Peter that will be airing on PBS during the course of this year. We're working with celebrity chefs. So 60 major broadcast opportunities around the globe, many of them in the USA, that people will be seeing through the course of 2021. So I suppose we never stopped. We certainly stopped our paid activity, but we'll be revamping that up again in 2021 to remind people when the time is right to book their holiday.
You know, you had mentioned there about the upcoming partnerships, projects that you're going to roll out. I'd like to talk about that groundbreaking partnership with Lucasfilm and HBO, indeed, one of the top cable television systems in North America. What impact did that have? And, you know, if you tell us about, you know, the movies like the Star Wars and Game of Thrones, and what sort of impact did that have to people that might otherwise be taking, you know, their desire to go to Ireland, you know, on a more personal basis?
Well, as we know in the past, I mean, screen tourism or film tourism is something that has been a motivator for people taking their trips. It's amazing when you think of the legacy of things like Ryan's Daughter and The Quiet Man, which are back from the 1950s and 60s. But, you know, in more modern times, Game of Thrones is a really good example, where we entered into a relationship with HBO back in 2013 when this new series called Game of Thrones came out, which has been shot in Northern Ireland. And you can never predict what the success of these is going to look like. But being out first out of the blocks meant that we got a license agreement with HBO to use the term Northern Ireland Game of Thrones territory. And that was significant because the film was also, or the series was also filmed in places like Iceland, Spain and Croatia. Mm-hmm. But we happened to get in first. And the relationship developed from there. And it got to a point where, you know, we produced amazing campaigns. One I must tell you about is Door of Thrones, where HBO actually entered into an agreement whereby they gave us the plots in advance of the airing of the series. And we carved doors in 10 pubs across Northern Ireland with the story of each episode. And as each episode was aired, the door was hung in different bars across Northern Ireland, which created a bit of a trail for people to follow the series of Game of Thrones. And that won in the Lion Awards, the Golden Lion Awards in Cannes, which is the equivalent of the Oscars for the advertising industry. There were 41,000 entries from advertisements all around the world, and it won gold, silver, and bronze. So it was great creativity and innovation by the team here in Tourism Ireland, working with the big studio like HBO, that brought Game of Thrones and Northern Ireland to a new audience around the world. And lucky us, it's like waiting for a bus and nothing happens and then two come at once. We had Star Wars film here as well, and that allowed us to work with Lucasfilm to show off The Wild Atlantic Way to a new audience. Yep. As well. And these created hundreds of millions of views around the world and a new audience of young people. I mean, I'm part of the original Star Wars generation, but my children have grown up with the new franchise. And it was a chance for us to talk to a new generation of Star Wars fans about Ireland. And it really was lucky because we had the biggest project on the big screen and the biggest project on the small screen happening at the same time. And we were able to capitalize on the back of that, which is really fortuitous.
Let me ask you, Niall Gibbons, about the impact or the expectation as a result of finally Brexit has been, you know, put to bed and signed off on. What, for many of us over here, think of Brexit and we think, well, no return to the border, Shane, that's it. Isn't that great? Thanks be to God. But the Brexit and its impact on visiting and on tourism to Ireland, and of course the economic fallout, or, you know, from that. Can you give us a kind of a rundown on what that actually means? You know, and again, maybe separate that from the ill, pandemic situation that we have there. What does it mean for Ireland?
Yeah, well, look, I mean, first of all, I mean, Brexit had been completely overshadowed by COVID over the last 9 months. And, I mean, I remember being over in the Houses of Parliament of the UK in London in February, having a Brexit task force meeting with the top people from the European and British and Irish travel industry. And Brexit was the big risk on the horizon. Now, from a tourism perspective, we're really pleased that a deal has been done. Because what it means is that the common travel area between the UK and the island of Ireland is intact. So for these people coming from Great Britain into Ireland, north or south, they can travel around freely as they did before. So there will be no change in that respect. The UK is a big market for us. We see about 4.5 million people coming from Great Britain into Ireland every year. So you can travel around freely as before. A lot of things won't change. There are small changes, for example, I mean, British drivers who come over on their British driver's license will still be recognised. They'll need to carry a green card for travel insurance purposes. And there are small things like the European Health Insurance Card will gradually phase out. They will need a pet passport if they're bringing their dog or their cat over, because the UK is technically a third country. But for travel purposes, it means that Ireland, north and south now, can be travelled around as it was before, seamlessly, north, south, east, west, will be no difference. We'll see good connectivity coming back between Ireland and Britain post-COVID as well. I mean, obviously, from a goods perspective, for importers and exporters, there are more paperwork issues involved that don't impact on tourism, but that's for another day, and our importers and exporters have got a few niggles and frustrations that need to be worked through. And obviously, there's a more detailed issue in relation to services, where no deal has been done right now. I mean, the deal that's in place is for goods to make sure that, you know, all the things that we import and export and take for granted on our supermarket shelves can continue to be supplied. Northern Ireland does remain part of the single market and customs union, so it's got the best of both worlds to some extent. But from a travel perspective, very little change. And I think for Ireland, and as we head out post-pandemic, we will see the common travel area be an added advantage for British travellers in terms of ease of travel when they start to travel later on this summer.
That's great news. I just want to zero in on playing a little devil's advocate here. Those who say we'd love to go to Ireland, of course, that would be terrific. So let's wait. How can we plan anything now? And, as you had mentioned, obviously, the St. Patrick's season, St. Patrick's Day, is such a tremendous opportunity. But there are those who say, well, it'll be after that. How do you determine, at this point, like, when the time is right? Is that a loose a term, or what would motivate us to start making plans now, to plan ahead? Is that a consideration? How is Tourism Ireland, how is that being addressed?
Well, I think in terms of planning your holiday, there's nothing to stop you getting online now to the likes of Ireland.com and many other sites that there are out there. The Tourism Ireland site, Ireland.com, is our site, and it's got lots of information in relation to how you get there, how to get around, what the opportunities are. So planning the trip has never been easier, so to speak, and it's a good time to be looking. I mean, the time of travel, when to travel, is less certain just at the moment, so to speak, but I think... You know, there's nothing to stop you preparing for your trip, so to speak. We do need to see a dip in infection rates and you know, an improvement in the COVID numbers that are there right now. And I'm hopeful that the vaccination program is going to accelerate that, and we should see improvements in the months ahead, which is very good news. But I think for everybody around the globe, everybody is looking at the moment, so to speak, and wondering when is the right time to book. And we will be very happy to give that signal when the time is right, because I know that there will be a lot of pent-up demand. We know that household savings has been increasing across a lot of countries. And I think when people make their booking, they want to be reassured that they can get there, they can have a safe time, a good time, and they will do in Ireland. And we'll be keeping close to people like you and other channels as well to make sure that people know when is the right time to book your trip.
Is there, I almost hate to bring it up, but you know, the impact on the economy and again, jobs, those who have been affected, those who are out of work. You know, tourism at the island of Ireland, that supports well over 300,000 jobs. Where is that, and what are the expectations with respect to how do you get back to that level? And how much is that tied to, you know, the, you know, visitors coming not just from North America, but from around the world?
I think it's about, you know, restarting the engine of tourism, and that's something that will happen during the course of 2021. And for us in Tourism Ireland, it's about generating demand, and for our colleagues in the industry, it's providing the great service that people have come to expect from Ireland. And I'm confident that it will get back, no question about that. I mean, tourism is something that's in the blood and in the DNA of a lot of people, not just in big cities like Dublin and Belfast, but everywhere across the island of Ireland, every small town and village, hospitality is really part of the DNA. So I'm confident that it will come back. I know that people will be keen to travel to Ireland. So rest assured, I think we will be in a good place. I don't think there'll be a big bang, so to speak. I think initially there will be a big source of demand, particularly from people who have not been able to get home to see friends and families. I think one of the personal tragedies for many people during this pandemic is that people have lost loved ones and relatives, and because of restrictions on size of funerals, they haven't been able to get home. Yeah. So I think there will be a major clamoring for people to get home to connect with friends and family. And that's what our research is telling us. And the three big things that people are saying is that, first of all, they want to go back to destinations they've been before. They want to go back to places that are familiar, and they want to get back to visiting their friends and family. And that's why we feel that the travel patterns from the US back to Ireland post-pandemic will actually be very strong.
First of all, you know, I want to thank you for putting us on the VIP list to this rollout. It is exciting, but it also brings a great sense of hope for this year. Without getting into any of the politics on either side of the Atlantic, we have, and we need badly, a new sense of hope. It's there. And where you have 35 million people who claim some degree of affiliation with you know, with Ireland and their DNA, with the people of Irish heritage, you know, let me ask you, what role can we play in this, you know, in the recovery? How do you see us as being part of what you're now, your new campaign or your continuing campaign?
I think a lot of it, Adrian, is doing what you're doing, because I think keeping connected is absolutely key, and that's one of the reassuring things that people look for at times of crisis, is the capacity to connect, the capacity to keep in touch. And I think you've done that superbly, and I want to thank you for it, for the 50 plus years you've been doing it in the United States. And I think, you know, when the time is right, to book a holiday to Ireland, I think we'll all be pulling together. And what's really good is that we're all well connected, so to speak, and we know who we're trying to talk to here. And I remember during the gathering back in 2013, which is a major call out to the diaspora to come home, I mean, the response was phenomenal, and I still talk to major players in the Irish diaspora around the world, and they feel that that was one of the biggest things they ever felt since they've gone abroad, is that they were asked to help and they were only delighted to respond. And people like you in North America, and people like Guillermo McLaughlin that runs the Southern Star in Argentina, people like Gerald Lawless out in Dubai, and Billy Cantrell who runs the Irish Post out in Australia, and people like Elgin Lone who own the Irish Post in Britain. I mean, all the diaspora media play a huge role in keeping those channels of communication open and keeping that dialogue and sense of connection that's there, that's so important, and it's really important that we don't lose that. and the time will come. It's in the program for government that there will be an anniversary of the gathering coming up in 2023. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be some sort of a program rolled out. It hasn't been decided what shape or form that will take yet. But, you know, we look forward to being part of that, and I look forward to the day when I can go over and sit in front of you and tell you all about that.
Listen, thank you. Thank you again, you know, for, again, the rollout, which is very exciting, that's obviously. And the website is ireland.com. And Niall Gibbons, again, very happy new year. And I would like to, and only because people might think we're ducking it, another 6 points in the All-Ireland final, and, you know, I'm speaking on behalf of ourselves and your father's side of the family, we would have been, you know, the Sam would be going to Mayo. But we're getting closer all the time. We're nearly there.
I think I first appeared on your show in 2006, Adrian, and I'm still waiting. But this year, it's funny, as some of your listeners will know, my father's side of my family are all from Mayo, and I was the last one in the family born in Dublin, so I've had a foot in each camp over the years. I can't lose, but I have to say Mayo's turn has to come. They've done an amazing job, and it is a phenomenal performance for a county that has been depleted in population over the years to produce a football team that has got to the final, oh gosh, I think it's about 10 times over the last short period of time. And they've been picked by, been probably one of the best teams in All-Ireland history, really. But, you know, it hasn't been by a landslide. 6 points was big this time, but there have been a number of times when it's only 1 point, and all that turns on one part of play in the game, and you never know. Maybe 2022 might be the time, and all the Mayo family will come home to Ireland to see them lift the Sam Maguire, Adrian.
Absolutely. Thanks. Again, Happy New Year, Niall Gibbons, CEO, worldwide of Tourism Ireland, and friends, you're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA, irishradio.com, worldwide.